Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is Dan Friedel, and for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Now, as heard earlier today on International Edition, it's a somber Monday in the sports world, as Sunday's news that NBA icon Kobe Bryant was killed in a helicopter crash near Los Angeles echoed around the sports world. Kobe, his teenage daughter, and seven other people, including a local college baseball coach and his family, were killed as well. The NBA and the sports world continues to mourn Kobe Bryant today. He was 41. Our Samson O'Malley starts today's show with this appreciation. Welcome to the show, Samson.
Kobe Bryant, a five-time NBA champion and two-time Olympic gold medalist, is widely regarded as one of the greatest basketball players in history, an iconic figure who became one of the faces of his sport during a glittering two-decade career with the Los Angeles Lakers. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, the NBA all-time leader in points scored, paid glowing tribute to Kobe Bryant.
It's very difficult for me to put in words how I feel about the loss of Kobe Bryant. Kobe was an incredible family man. He loved his wife and daughters. He was an incredible athlete and a leader in a lot of ways. He inspired a whole generation of young athletes. He was one of the first ones to leave high school and come into the NBA and do so well, dominating the game and becoming one of the best scorers that the Los Angeles Lakers has ever seen.
Atlanta Hawks head coach Lloyd Pierce reacted to the passing of NBA legend Kobe Bryant prior to Sunday's game against the Washington Wizards.
There's just certain things you don't get over. Today, that day, I never had a personal relationship with Kobe. He's spoken to me a bunch of times, and he's always told me he respects me and he respects the work that I've done, and he's watched me from afar as a head coach and as an assistant. But I've always respected his greatness because of his detail, his passion, and the intensity of which he plays.
In football news, holders Aspirants of Tunisia drew 2-2 with Raja Casablanca on Saturday as both clubs booked their places in the quarterfinals of the African Champions League. Zamalek also qualified for the CAF Champions League quarterfinals following their goalless draw against TP Mazembe on Friday to raise their tally to 8 points after 5 games played, 3 points behind TP Mazembe, who have also qualified. Wydad Casablanca's 3-1 win over Algeria's USM Alger on Friday night was enough for them to qualify from Group C, along with South Africa's Mamelodi Sundowns, who drew 2-2 with Petro Atletico on Saturday in Angola. ZESCO United drew 1-1 against Primeiro do Agosto on Saturday to end their hopes of qualification for the knockout stages. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thank you, Samson. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sonny Young today here on the Sunny Side of Sports. Now, outside of the Staples Center, the Lakers' home court for some of Kobe Bryant's career, fans gathered to pay tribute to the star. It just so happened that inside, some of the biggest stars in the music world were celebrating the last year of their production with the Grammy Awards. The sad news of Bryant's death cast a somber mood over the event, and basketball fans mixed with music royalty outside of the arena. My colleague, Gwen Uten, will have more later. The death of Kobe Bryant came the morning after current Lakers star LeBron James passed him on the league's all-time scoring list. So Kobe's last tweet was one of congratulations, offering James praise for his achievement. Continuing on in the world of sports, we're joined now by Prince Nesta, who's here to get us up to date on the results in the world of European soccer, of which, of course, Kobe Bryant was a big fan. Remember, Bryant grew up in Italy while his father was playing professional basketball there.
Sporty greetings to you too, Dan. Nigerian international Kelechi Iheanacho struck the winning goal at Griffin Park as Leicester City zoomed into the fifth round of the FA Cup with a 1-0 victory against Brentford. Chelsea also survived a late scare to overcome Hull City 2-1 and advanced to the last 16 of the competition after goals from Belgian forward of Congolese descent Michy Batshuayi and England defender of Nigerian descent Fikayo Tomori. Harry Maguire, Diogo Dalot, Jesse Lingard, Phil Jones, Antoine Martial and Mason Greenwood all got their names on the score sheet as Manchester United smashed Tranmere 6-0 to romp into the fifth round of the FA Cup, while Southampton held Tottenham to a 1-1 draw to force a replay. Gabriel Jesus scored twice, while Ilkay Gundogan and Bernardo Silva added a goal each to ensure holders Manchester City cruised into the fifth round of the FA Cup with a 4-0 win over 10-man Fulham at the Etihad Stadium. Arsenal return to FA Cup action later today with a game against fellow Premier League side Bournemouth in the fourth round of the competition.
Thank you, Prince, and a belated sporty greetings to you too. Now, let's move on to the French League. I saw that Brazilian star Neymar converted a pair of goals for PSG in their match with Lille.
Yeah, the Brazilian superstar made the difference on his 50th French League appearance to score twice, as Paris Saint-Germain claimed a hard-earned 2-0 victory over Lille to extend their lead at the top of the French League to 10 points. Second place Marseille also dropped points in a scoreless draw with Angers, while Ivorian forward Maxwell Cornet, French striker of Malian descent Moussa Dembélé, and Cameroonian footballer Karl Toko Ekambi also found the net to secure Lyon's 3-0 win over Toulouse.
Prince, what's new in the Spanish league? I saw that Real Madrid moved to the top of the table for the first time since October.
That's right, Dan. The Los Blancos established a 3-point cushion at the top of La Liga after securing a 1-0 win against Real Valladolid. Nacho Fernandez rose highest to head the traveling team in front after 78 minutes, with Valladolid having succeeded in keeping their guests at bay until deep in the latter stages. Barcelona suffered a surprise 2-0 defeat away to Valencia, while Atletico Madrid was held to a 0-0 draw at home by relegation-threatened Leganés, adding to the run of poor results by Diego Simeone's team. And in Italy, Cristiano Ronaldo scored for the 8th Serie A game in a row for league leaders Juventus, but could not prevent his side slipping to a 2-1 defeat to Napoli at the Stadio San Paolo. Juve are 3 points clear of Inter Milan, who earned a 1-1 draw against Cagliari at San Siro.
Thanks, Prince. As I noted at the top of the segment, Kobe Bryant was a huge soccer fan. I know that soccer players and teams expressed their sadness when they heard of Kobe's death on Sunday. What were some of the key reactions that you saw on Twitter?
Yes, indeed, Dan. Although Bryant forged his legacy during his 20-year basketball career with LA Lakers, it should also be noted that he was a passionate soccer fan who supported AC Milan. He was actually introduced to the sport while his father played basketball in Italy. Bryant also traveled often to attend Major League Soccer games as well as matches in Europe. AC Milan tweeted, and I quote, "We have no words to express how shocked we are to hear of the tragic passing of one of the greatest sportsmen of all time and Rosanori fan Kobe Bryant. All of our thoughts are with the families of those affected by this tragic accident. You will forever be missed, Kobe." 5-time Ballon d'Or winner Cristiano Ronaldo tweeted, and I quote, "So sad to hear the heartbreaking news of the deaths of Kobe Bryant and his daughter. Kobe was a true legend and inspiration to so many. Sending my condolences to his family and friends and the families of all who lost their lives in the crash. Rest in peace, legend." LA Galaxy striker Chicharito tweeted, and I quote, "I still can't believe the news. I'm very sorry about what happened. My condolences and best wishes to Kobe's whole family." U.S. women's soccer star Megan Rapinoe tweeted, and I quote, "Heart going out to the Bryant family right now. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant." Former Arsenal striker Thierry Henry tweeted, and I quote, "Literally devastated to hear the news about Kobe, his daughter, and all those on board the helicopter crash. My thoughts and prayers are with his family and also of the victims." PSG and Brazilian superstar Neymar celebrated his second goal against Lille by paying tribute to Bryant's number 24 jersey. He later tweeted, and I quote, "Sad day for us in sports, for fans, and especially Kobe's family and friends. A legend has been made with your hands. Thank you for extolling sports, Kobe. May God comfort the hearts of your family and friends." I'm Prince Nesta on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Dan.
Thank you, Prince, for joining us on a sad day in the sports world. Now, around the NBA, there was a full slate of games, and in all of the games, the teams opened by taking a pair of penalties. Some took an 8-second violation, and then the other one took a 24-second violation, both of those numbers honoring the jerseys Bryant wore in his Lakers career. One of those games was a matchup between the Toronto Raptors and San Antonio Spurs. DeMar DeRozan, San Antonio's star guard, grew up in Los Angeles idolizing Kobe, and his coach, Greg Popovich, saw Bryant in numerous NBA Western Conference games.
"Everything I learned came from Kobe. Everything. Take Kobe away, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have love. I wouldn't have the passion, the drive.
All of us know what a great player he was, but he went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and it's what made him as a player so attractive to everybody, that focus, that competitiveness, that will to win."
Those voices belong to DeMar DeRozan and Greg Popovich of the San Antonio Spurs, remembering Kobe Bryant, who was killed in a helicopter crash on Sunday morning near Los Angeles. I'm Dan Friedel, filling in for Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. We're joined now by my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten, who has more reaction on the death of the 5-time NBA champion, Kobe Bryant.
Hey there, Dan. Hey, sports fans. As Dan mentioned, Kobe Bryant won 5 NBA championships with the LA Lakers and was not only considered one of the greatest to ever play the game of basketball, he was beloved in the city of Los Angeles. Bereaved fans in Los Angeles spoke to the news organization Reuters about Kobe's legacy and his impact on the city and his hometown in Pennsylvania.
"It is a sad day. This is a city that, for which, you know, Kobe meant a lot. And so it's one of the largest citizens, one of the most important citizens of this town. And so I think it's going to have a significant impact on the city. I think the city has lost a lot today."
He meant everything, especially like in the sports in general. Like, you know, he was really good at what he did, and he was a very good person in general. He did a lot of charity, like, you know. So it's a very big loss in general.
"As someone from PA like Kobe Bryant was, you know, it really hits home. It's sad to see one of a real basketball legend pass like that. But we're definitely going to remember his memory and keep his legacy alive."
World leaders, athletes, and artists from around the world also expressed their grief and disbelief at the news of Kobe's death. As the news was still breaking on Sunday, U.S. President Donald Trump issued this tweet. "Reports are that basketball great Kobe Bryant has been killed in a helicopter crash in California. That is terrible news." Former U.S. President Barack Obama reacted to the news on his Twitter page, writing, "Kobe was a legend on the court and just getting started in what would have been just as meaningful a second act. To lose Gianna is even more heartbreaking to us as parents. Michelle and I send love and prayers to Vanessa and the entire Bryant family on an unthinkable day." Former L.A. Laker Shaquille O'Neal played alongside Kobe for 8 years. The duo led their team to 3 consecutive NBA championships. And on his Twitter page, Shaq writes, There's no words to express the pain I'm going through with this tragedy of losing my niece Gigi and my brother Kobe Bryant. I love you and you will be missed. My condolences goes out to the Bryant family and the families of the other passengers on board. I'm sick right now. Former L.A. Laker Irvin Magic Johnson also tried to put his feelings into words, tweeting in part, "As I try to write this post, my mind is racing. I'm in disbelief and have been crying all morning over this devastating news that Kobe and his young daughter Gigi have passed away in a helicopter crash. Cookie and I are heartbroken." On Sunday, NBA Commissioner Adam Silver issued this statement following the passing of Kobe Bryant. "The NBA family is devastated by the tragic passing of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. For 20 seasons, Kobe showed us what is possible when remarkable talent blends with an absolute devotion to winning. He was one of the most extraordinary players in the history of our game, with accomplishments that are legendary. 5 NBA championships, an NBA MVP award, 18 NBA All-Star selections, and 2 Olympic gold medals. But he will be remembered most for inspiring people around the world to pick up a basketball and compete to the very best of their ability. He was generous with the wisdom he acquired and saw it as his mission to share it with future generations of players, taking special delight in passing down his love of the game to Gianna. We send our heartfelt condolences to his wife Vanessa and their family, the Lakers organization, and the entire sports world." Those are just a few of the thousands of reactions to the untimely deaths of Kobe Bryant and his daughter Gianna. Dan, I'll hand it back over to you.
Thank you, Gwen. Moving on to other sports news, I wanted to pick up my conversation with Ghanaian Olympian Alex Amankwa, who Sonny introduced last week. Alex will be turning 28 shortly. He's prepping for the 800 meters here in the Washington, D.C. area, just across the river in Virginia. I asked Alex what it's like training here. What's it like in this area for somebody like you? What's the competition like? What are your training partners like? What's the atmosphere? I don't naturally think of Northern Virginia as a running hub.
Well, the weather has definitely been an adjustment. I've been in Alabama. I went to the University of Alabama, and it's usually hot over there. So when I came here and it was 30 degrees, 20 degrees, and snowing, I was like, man, I gotta bundle up because this is not what I'm used to. But I've been adjusting well, just, you know, wearing some extra gear, some gloves and a hat. So that hasn't been too bad of a transition. And my teammates have definitely helped me out so much. Being part of District Track Club with my coach, Tom, he has elevated me not only to be a better runner, but to be a better man, to be a better leader. And I'm so thankful and grateful that, you know, this opportunity came into my life, because I don't know where I would be without it. And my teammates, we have a great dynamic. We joke around. We're competitive. You know, we're always challenging ourselves to be better athletes and be a better person. So I'm really happy about that. And our team manager Ryan, you know, I don't know where I would be. You know, he helps me out so much with my schedule. If I ever need anything, I can go to him. So just the whole dynamic of the team is perfect for me, and they're very supportive, so I'm really appreciative towards that.
I'm Dan Friedel. I'm here in Arlington, Virginia, with Alex Amankwa, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports. Alex is a 2016 Ghanaian Olympic team member, 800-meter runner, and he's working on getting himself in shape, looking forward to setting the standard that would give him an automatic entry into the Olympics. Wanted to ask you, Alex, about the difference between being a runner at a university and having classes and some of the scheduling differences compared to being a professional runner. How is that easier? Is it harder? What's it like to have that transition?
Running at the university level, I think, is a lot easier to do. Even though the level of competition is more difficult as a professional, the support is very different as a professional. University, they take care of your flights, they take care of what you're going to eat, all the, everything you can think of, it's already taken care of. But as a professional, you need to have that support, which is why I'm so thankful for Under Armour, because they gave me that support. Now I can go into races and not have to worry about, you know, like how I'm going to have my bills paid. Just knowing that they're behind me and supporting me through, you know, wins and losses mean so much. And it's a brand that I love to represent. So it's definitely much harder being a professional just because of the support. You know, and so if you think about running, you have, in comparison to, like, let's say the NBA, in the NBA, like, most of your competition is going to come from the United States. That's where the best basketball players are. But in track and field, you have the whole world to be, you know, competing against. And without support, it makes it very, very difficult to do so, because, you know, you have to, running takes up so much time, and you also have to work and try to make money. So I'm just glad that Under Armour is here supporting me.
Alex, let me ask you just a couple more questions, and then we'll wrap things up. So the first thing is, if you're looking at a program who's entering into a race and you see a last name like yours, obviously you know that's not an American last name. So what is it like for you to be somebody who's born in Africa, living in the United States with the last name like that, and kind of representing people from a different continent and a different country while you're living in the U.S.?
It's definitely a blessing. I know a lot of, you know, Ghana has some good runners, but it's not known as a running country. You know, you think of runners from Africa, you think of, you know, Kenya and Ethiopia and things like that. But it makes me proud to know that I'm representing Ghana, especially the place I was born. You know, it makes my mother proud and my family back at home proud. So if you guys are listening to this, hi. But definitely, I'm just proud to represent Ghana, and it means a lot. It means a lot to you.
So one thing we talked about just before we started recording was what's coming up for you in your future after you're out of the professional mode of running. How much time do you think you have left as a professional runner? Do you have your eyes on maybe making a run at another Olympics 4 years from now? And what are your ultimate goals after your running career is over as a competitor?
When it comes to the timeline for how long I want to keep running, I think I have a good amount of years left. I think I can definitely go till the next Olympics after Tokyo. If you think of when I started running, I was relatively pretty young. I started running at 17, senior year in high school, and I've progressed very well. So I think that my legs still have a good amount of energy going. And afterwards, I love coaching. In a perfect world, I want to coach in a Division I college, helping athletes achieve their goal. Their goals and not only become better athletes, but become better runners, and kind of instill what I've learned from all the coaches in my past onto them, because you know, sometimes I see coaches and they're coaching or just teaching athletes the wrong way, and you know, I want every athlete that ever comes in contact with me to, you know, feel like they've developed as a better person and as a better runner.
Alex, that sounds great. Once again, you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports here on The Voice of America, talking with Alex Amankwa, a representative of the Ghanaian Olympic team living just outside of Washington, D.C. in Virginia. Alex, let me wish you the best of luck on your pursuit, and thanks for joining us on The Sunny Side of Sports.
Thank you guys for having me. It was a pleasure, and hope to see you guys soon, 2020 Olympics.
That's Alex Amankwa, who grew up in Los Angeles and attended the University of Alabama. He's prepping for the 800 meters in an effort to qualify for this year's Tokyo Olympics. And that wraps up the January 27th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to VOA producer Bill Workinger and VOA engineer John Dryden. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Dan Friedel, in for VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Sonny will be back on Tuesday. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it. Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. Also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America's global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, sub-Saharan African nations continue to struggle with their anti-corruption efforts. Corruption on the continent, on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
People have long linked stress to gray hair. Now a new Harvard University-led study describes why this happens. After proposing several theories they couldn't validate, the Harvard investigators turned their attention to the sympathetic nerve system, which controls our body's fight or flight response. They found that these nerves spread into hair follicles on the skin, and that stress can cause these nerves to release a hormone that is absorbed by stem cells that convert to pigment or color cells for new hair follicles. The researchers say this hormone stimulates the stem cells to convert into too many pigment cells, essentially draining the supply of stem cells that were to generate color for future hair follicles. They say that once these pigment-producing cells are gone, it's not possible to regenerate anymore. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to sukus, afrobeat to ndombolo and makosa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that